It is good to be in the presence of God together. Amen. He has called us into a community together. We are bound to one another and to Him. And that's a beautiful thing. I was reading a story about a little girl who was having a conversation with her teacher about whales. And so her and her teacher kind of just going back and forth in a discourse about whales. And her teacher was talking to her and she said, you know, it's actually physically impossible for a whale to be able to swallow a human being. Because even though that they're large mammals, they got really small throats. And so the little girl began to proceed and tell her, like, well, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And she says, well, no, because he was, it's physically impossible for a whale to swallow. They're big animals, but they have small throats. And she's, the little girl says, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. And the teacher said, well, what if he went to hell? And she said, well, then you can ask him. That story had no relevance to the sermon this morning. It was just funny, and my daughter and I laughed last night, so I thought I'd share it with you. We are in the midst of a sermon series called Covenant Community, and we're talking about what it means to be the people of God and who we are as the people of God. And we've been spending a lot of time on it, and we're going to spend a few more weeks on it about what it means to be this community in covenant with one another and with God. Because it is central to who we are in our existence as part of a community of people of God. We're bound to one another and we're bound to God. And, you know, this community that we're a part of, the people of God, all sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're all together in this. This community that we're a part of for eternity is shaping us. It's shaping us. And the fact that we belong to one another, because of Jesus, and the fact that we belong to Him because of the blood of Jesus. How we respond to that in both vertically and horizontally towards one another and towards God, it determines how we're shaped. To be a part of a community of God is shaping us. And so that's what we've been talking about over these multiple few weeks, and today we're going to be talking about what does service look like in community? What does it look like to serve? Why do we serve God? Why do we give ourselves in service to God? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. But first I want to just say that service is part of our DNA as believers and followers of Christ. Service is part of our DNA. When you were born again, when Jesus Christ came into your life as your Lord and your Savior, you were made a new creation. And this new creation in your DNA is service. Jesus said that, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life up. The Bible also says in Ephesians 2 that we have all been created by God for good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. So now as a new creation in Christ Jesus, your new identity as a new creature in Christ Jesus, in your DNA is service. It's service. Service is how the kingdom of God operates. It's how it functions. It is like the engine that makes it run. The kingdom of God is about serving each other, serving, serving, serving. Everybody participating, everybody chipping in, everybody contributing by serving. That's how the kingdom of God functions, and that's how it works. And so we ask ourselves, why is it really necessary to serve? You know, why is it necessary for me to postpone all the things in my life or to reprioritize all the things in my life so that I'm able to serve? When I know that God could really choose someone to do a better job, more effective job, really, probably. He could do it a lot better without me, really, if you think about it, right? So what purpose is there in reprioritizing my life to serve Him and to serve others? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. That as the covenant community of God, as a part of our DNA, this is who we are. A community that serves one another. A community that serves one another. So we're going to look in 1 Peter chapter 4 today. If you have your Bibles, amen for the Word of God. There's so much rich blessings in the Word of God. It is my life source. It is an open door into who God is. So if you don't read the Bible, here's just a little plug. Start reading your Bible because it's full of life and truth, and it will keep you alive. Amen? Amen. It is God's instructions on how to live as a free man for Him. In Jesus' name. Amen? So here we are, 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up in verse 7. And it starts out by saying this. Peter says this. The end of all things is at hand. So therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Verse 10, as each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another. I'm going to read that again. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so whoever speaks, let him speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, let him serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. What for? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So he says here, Peter is saying here, every single one of you who has received a gift, it's a past tense word there, received. And so he says, you have received a gift. And so if you have received a gift by the grace of God, we are to use that gift to what? Serve one another. I find it very interesting that Peter does not write here to use that gift to serve God. He doesn't say that, does he? He says that you have been given a gift for a reason. And the reason that you have been given a gift is to serve someone else with it. And so the word gift there, when Peter says each of you has received a gift, it means, the word means a divine gratuity. It means that you have been given a reward or a donation or a special ability or capability. You've been given a special quality by God. And it's not something that you've earned. It's not something that you deserve. It's not something that you were born with. It is by the grace of God that you are given this. And it is only by the grace of God that we are given these special abilities and qualities. And Peter is saying here that each of you has received one of these gifts, at least one of these gifts. The Bible refers to numerous ones that we might do a series on later down the road. But the Bible, each and every one of you has been given something when the grace of God covered your life. When Jesus Christ came, your Lord and Savior, the grace that saved you also gave you something, gave you a gift, gave you something, a special quality that was directly from Him to you. And so you may be thinking here this morning that, you know, I don't have anything to offer. I can't serve God. I have nothing to serve Him with. I have no special qualities or abilities. But here's the good news that I was just saying a second ago. That by the grace of God, He actually gives you something to give back to Him. You don't have anything that you can give Him but your life. But when you give your life to Him, He provides you with a quality. He provides you with gifts and abilities to give back and offer back to Him in service. But this service is not a service that is, He's not saying give it to Him in service, but He's saying use what I have given you, your special ability, your talents, your gifts, your abilities, whatever it is, that gift that God has given you, and serve someone else with it. That's how the kingdom of God operates. That's how the kingdom of God operates. It is the people and the community of God bound by the blood of Jesus Christ serving one another. Serving, 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 serving. And every part doing their work. Everyone here has some gift. If you have called upon Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, He has given you a gift by the grace, by His grace. And some of you may not know what that is yet, and you have yet to identify that. Some of you know very well what your gifts are and your abilities are that God has given you. But the purpose of these abilities is to serve others with them. To serve others with them. And with this gifts that He has given to us, we're serving Him. When we serve others, we are serving Him. And He gets the glory. You want to give glory to God? Serve somebody with the gift that He's given you. Serve somebody with what He has provided you with, whether it be time, energy, finances, resources, whether it be a skill or a trade, whether it be this burning passion and pursuit within you, serve others with it, and you will glorify God. Serve others with it, and you'll glorify God. This past weekend, you guys don't know this, but I'm here to tell you, Anthony took a group of people up to Lima, New York, which is where Elam Bible Institute is. It's their headquarters, it's their hub. It's the network of churches that we're with. And there's a Bible school there, and this Bible school has been around for a long time, and it's kind of dilapidated and needs a ton of work. And constantly, Mike Cavanaugh, the president, is calling and asking for churches to send up teams to come and just do a little bit of work, whether it be tearing down or rebuilding or fixing or whatever it may be. And Anthony gathered together a crew with George and Tim and a couple and somebody from the youth group, and he took a whole team up there. And these guys, they went out of their way. Thursday they left this place, and they went out of their way to go up to Lima, New York, to do some gritty, dirty work and to take the gifts and the talents and the abilities that they have and the energy that they have and to serve that school so that young people who have a call of God on their lives can come to this school and grow and to develop in their calling that God has done. You see how it's a constant, it's an exchanging of hands, of serving one another so others can succeed. And, you know, I got to say, guys, I am truly honored to be a part of a church that would just send a team up 5 hours away to take off from work, to lose pay, to serve someone else. That's the kind of church that we belong to. And I know that they didn't do it for any recognition. That's why I recognize them. Because I know that their hearts were not for recognition. I know they didn't do it to be acknowledged and be like, hey, look at us. But I know that they did it humbly. And they took time out of their day away from their families to serve someone else. And you know what? God was glorified. And I'm honored to be part of a church where there are people like that. God was glorified. He was glorified. In 1 Corinthians 7:7, it says that each of us have been given a proper gift. And what that means is that each of us have been given exactly the gift that God determined specifically for you. For you. You know what that tells me? God put a lot of thought into that for me. He thought about me. And I wasn't just this separate entity and just dispersing things, but he knows my DNA, he knows my characteristics, my personality, and he gave me a gift. And I think that's pretty cool. And that's what the Bible says, that each of you have been given the proper gift, what God determined specifically would be for you. You know, I know that there's a temptation sometimes to think like, well, you know, the gift that I have been given isn't as flashy and as cool as the gift that somebody else has, you know? And there's that temptation to compete with other people, to look at them with resentment and say, oh, they got a cool, flashy gift, and the gift that God has given me is behind the scenes, and it doesn't even get recognized, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But let me just remind you of something this morning, that because of how God created you, there are things that you can do that no one can do quite like you. Because of the way he created you and how he wired you, there are things that no one can do quite like you. And when he disperses gifts among his people, he disperses them in various functions and various capacities. But it's so important that we do not diminish or to think that your gifts are not as special or not as significant as somebody else's gifts, because to God, those gifts are extremely important to him and are of so much worth to him. It's very important that we remember that. Many people we all have keychains, you know, and you ever see like a janitor or a custodian's keychain, they got like a plethora of keys, just one key goes to everything, right? And there's each key is designed to open a certain lock, each key has a design and it has been designated for a certain purpose and assigned to a certain door to unlock and get access, right? And so, for the sake of this illustration, imagine God as the master key. He can unlock anything, right? He can unlock, open every door, but he has also uniquely crafted each and every one of us with a specific gift to be used in a very specific place of where he calls you be it Cornerstone, your workplace, the family that you live with. That's where he's called you. That's where he planted you. And God has uniquely crafted each and every one of you with specific gifts and abilities for a specific place, to be used to make a difference in the lives of others. You see, your gifts are not for us to take and use and to hoard and to use for our own benefit and our own edification. The gifts that God gives us by his grace is to give to others. Use it to serve somebody else. That is how the kingdom of God operates. And Peter goes on, he says, so use this gift to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. That word to serve somebody, it literally means to put yourself in the position of a servant. To attend to somebody as a servant. That's what it means. Now think about that for a second. This is what is in our DNA. This is what Jesus did. He came, he left all the riches and all the glory and all the power in heaven, and he came to this sin-stained earth to serve you and I, so that one day we would be exalted. That's what he did for us. That's the model that he left for us. And this is what it means to serve one another. It's to position yourself as a servant to them. And it means to provide for their needs and their wants, actually. The original translation of that word actually throws the word wants in there. And I was blown away by that. I was like, well, that's cool. Because sometimes we think of serving needs, right? We serve of what is the person's needs, which is absolutely a part of it. But the word also entails to serve somebody's wants. That's cool. What would it look like if we started to serve each other's wants? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? And so Peter's showing us here, he's saying that serving others and ministering to the needs and the wants of other people by attending to someone as a servant to them, that we are actually being good stewards of the grace that he has given us. That for me is very encouraging. I don't know about you, but when I dwell on the grace of God and I think about the grace of God and how amazing it is and how I can't even formulate into words the depth and the breadth of what grace is, it encourages me to know that he's given me this grace and this amazing gift of grace, and he says, here's my grace, use it, be a good steward of it. And you're like, well, how do you be a good steward of something so amazing? This is so amazing, I don't know what to do with it. You know what he says? Use the gifts that God gave you to serve somebody else, and you will be a good steward of this grace that I've given you. Serve someone else with what I have given you, your abilities, your talents, your gifts, and you are going to be a good steward of the grace that I've given you. That's encouraging. That is very encouraging. You see, serving God by serving others is really an expression of our gratitude to him. It's an expression that shows our appreciation for what he's done and our thankfulness for who he is. And it's our response. It's our way of what we give back to him in return. I don't know if you remember, I've just taken my daughter through the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And in the last chapter, there's a scene where Gandalf and one of the hobbits, Pippin, I think, and they enter into the throne room of the city of Gondor. And if you haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry if I'm just, you know, over your head, but there's a scene where the hobbit recognizes that this guy who is sitting in as king for the time being, that his son gave his life to save him back in the first movie, and you can see Pippin's eyes, and he puts two and two together, and he realizes that this man's son died for me. And so he makes it clear. He gets down on one knee, and he addresses the guy who's sitting in as king, and he says, your son saved my life. He died for me so that I could live and my friends could live. And he bows down and he says, I pledge my service to you for life. I pledge my service to you. That's essentially what this is like. That's essentially what it is. It's saying, God, you have sent your son to rescue me, to give me life, to give me freedom. I pledge my service to you. Out of my gratitude and my appreciation and my thankfulness for what you've done, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And God says, serve somebody. Serve someone else. Serve others Be a servant to them. Provide for their needs and their wants with that amazing gift that he has given to you, only specific to you, that ability, that talent, that gift that he has given to you. Peter goes on and he says that we are to serve in the strength that only God supplies. How many times have we served and you've served and you've been serving in your own strength? Right? And you're like, man, there's no joy in it. There's no glory in it because it's just like, this needs to be done. I guess I'll do it. Nobody else is going to do it, so I'll do it. And so you serve in your own strength, in your own capacity. But Peter says that we should recognize that when we're serving, that we're serving directly on behalf of God to others. When we choose to serve others, we're serving directly on behalf of him for others, and that he gives us the ability and the strength to do so. And so this passage that we're reading here, it compels us to take these gifts that God has given us that were directly from him to be used for him by serving other people. And the reason is because that God has called each and every single one of you, and he wants to bless and encourage other people through you. And so what this means, this is a powerful thought. If God has given you a gift by his grace, and he wants you to take this gift and he wants you to use it to serve other people, this is essentially, you are essentially, not only do you have a gift from God, but in that moment when you serve someone with that gift, you are the gift to that person. You are God's gift to that very person in that very moment. That's a pretty cool thought. That's powerful to think about. You are a gift from God to someone else when you serve them with the gifts and the abilities that he's given you. That's cool. That's cool, man. And so God has planted a seed of ability within each and every single one of us. And it becomes our responsibility then to depend on God for these gifts, to depend on his strength so that others can benefit from the fruit that God produces through you. And so he says that we serve in the strength that God supplies. And this encourages me in two ways. That when we serve in the strength that God supplies. Number one, it tells me that I can be completely dependent upon God. That I can be completely dependent upon God. When God lavishly supplies strength to me, knowing that I can't do what he wants me to do unless he is the strength behind it all. The Bible says in John 15:5, it says, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Well, you and I can't do anything without God as the source of our strength. He is the one that gave you the gift. He supplied the gift. He provided you with the gift. He is the source behind the gift. It's not your gift. It is God's gift that he's using through you. We are not the custodians and the executioners of our gift. We recognize that these gifts came from God and they're to be used for his purposes, to serve his kingdom, to serve other people. And the other thing that encourages me through this when we talk about that we serve in the strength that God provides and supplies is that I can have complete confidence in knowing that when I expend resources or if I take the time to reprioritize my life to serve him, whether I'm giving him my time, whether I'm giving him my energy, whether I'm giving him my finances, whatever it is that God has given you that you are expending, you can be encouraged to know that you can have confidence that he is the faithful supplier. And so when you expend, he is going to faithfully resupply. You see what I'm saying? When you spend and you serve, you know, we can all come up with excuse after excuse after excuse. We live in a day and age where everyone's working 55,000 hours a week and nobody's got time for anything and we're all tired and we're all exhausted and we're all in pain and we all got this to do and all got that to do, and we could all have the same story right now. Every single one of us could spout that off about our lives. But here is the encouraging word this morning, that when you reprioritize and you say, I'm making it a point to take what God has given me so I can serve other people with it, you can rest assured in confidence that God is going to resupply what you need and able to continue to serve him. So if you give of your energy and you're tired, trust me, God is going to resupply your energy so that you can serve Him again. If you give Him of your finances and your resources that you have, God is going to resupply. He is a faithful resupplier. God is the one who supplies us with the ability and the strength to serve Him. You don't do it on your own. You don't do it on your own strength. It has to be in partnership with God and saying, God, this gift that I have, this talent, this ability, these resources, this energy that I have, whatever it is I'm giving to serve somebody else with, I cannot do it unless you provide me with the strength to do it. This morning I was, you know, this passage has been kind of marinating in my heart for a few days now. And before this morning I got up and I was praying through it, and I just said, Lord God, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to serve these people in preaching your word. And I'm going to deliver your word. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to serve them. God, I need to do it in your strength. I can't do it in my own strength. I'm tired too, Lord. You know, my head's a little clouded right now. It's hard for me to focus right now. But God, I'm depending upon you. And I just prayed that over my life, that when I serve, when I come up here, that I'm serving you in the strength that God provides me to do so. And that's the best way to serve. That's the only way to serve. Amen? Because He's glorified in that. When we depend upon God, He's glorified. When you depend upon God for everything, He's glorified. Amen? We serve in the strength that God supplies. And here's the motivation of our service. He goes on and he says, in order that everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now, motivation is vital when we're talking about serving, because there's a lot of dangers that can arise in service. When you serve other people and when you you walk in service and you give yourself and you reprioritize your life to service, there's a lot of dangers that can arise. And so the motivation and the condition of your heart is essential to check. We all must keep a check on the condition of our heart when we serve, because the dangers like pride will come forth. I'm so good at this. Better than that guy at this or that person at this. You know, pride begins to well up that I'm better than anybody else and I've got the answers than anybody else. Da 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 da. That's a wrong condition of the heart, a wrong motivation to serve. Resentment that wells up with bitterness because of lack of recognition. Oh man, I have given my hours and my time and my energy and nobody's recognizing me. Ugh. Resentment and bitterness can rise up, and that is a danger, a condition of the heart, a wrong motivation for service. Overworking yourself is a danger. Doing it so much that you don't have time to spend with your family. Someone doing it so much that you don't have time to be alone with God and to spend time with God. You know what it takes away from the things that you need to be doing, that God has called you to do. Another danger is self-fulfilling. I do this to make myself feel better about myself because I need to feel better about myself. And so I serve. I'll serve God. I'll serve others because I need to feel good about myself. It's the wrong attitude. Competition with others. We are not in competition with each other. I was telling the first service, guys, we all get the same prize at the end. We all get the same reward at the end. That's exciting. And so there's no competition. We're not in competition with any other churches. And I was saying in the first service, cheer other churches on who are doing the same thing. Cheer them on. Get behind them. You know what I mean? We're not in competition with anybody in this county and churches. We're doing what we do here because God has called us right here into this family. They've been called to do that there. We're not in competition. So serve. Don't be in competition with anybody else. And so it's vital that we check the condition of our hearts when it comes to serving. And the best test for checking the condition of your heart is simply to ask this question. For who am I doing this? Why am I doing, for whom am I doing this for? Am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for the pastor? Am I doing this for my family member? Who am I doing this for ultimately? Ultimately, who is this for? I'm serving others. Who is this for? If we're doing this for Christ, and if service points to Christ, it won't matter who gets the reward. It won't matter who gets the recognition. What matters is that our motivation and service is to bring glory to God. Our desire in our service to other people is so that Jesus gets His name lifted up, and so that He's acknowledged, is that He's recognized, is that He gets all the recognition and all the honor and all the glory. That's why we serve. And so having the right motivation in our service is so important. So ask yourself these three questions. Does my service originate from God? The task or the job that God has given me to do, is this a task that comes from Him? Is this service does my service originate from God? Secondly, is my service for God? Is the motivation of my heart to serve Him with a joyful response that expresses my gratitude back to Him? Is it for His glory and His recognition, or have I been doing it for my own glory and my own recognition? And thirdly, is my service with God? Recognizing that we all serve in the strength that only He supplies, and our service is meant to be in partnership with Him. That we don't do this alone. We're in partnership with God. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. We're in partnership with Him in His job, in His ministry on this earth. Jesus left behind a visible community, something to be seen and demonstrated and displayed. And that's what we're here on this earth too. We are the visible community of God. And so, but we're in partnership with Him. And so ask yourselves in those three things, does the service originate from God? Is it for God? And is it with God? And that's a great way to just kind of self-check the condition of your heart of why you're doing something. And so I'm going to wrap this up into a close. And can I ask the worship team to come on up? And we're going to close in a song. Now, there's a lot I could say about this area of service. We can go on and on and on. But I read also a story about this pastor who came up to the pulpit. And when he came up to the pulpit, he had a Band-Aid on his face. And he looks out to the congregation and he says, I'm sorry for this Band-Aid I have on my face. This morning when I was shaving in the mirror, I was thinking about the sermon and I cut my face. And so that's why I got this Band-Aid on my face. And so the service goes over and the treasurer comes up after the service and he says, Pastor, there was a note in the offering basket and it says, and it said, next time, focus on your face and cut the sermon. So I'm not here to to drag this on. I think the point has been made this morning that if you want to glorify God, if you want to glorify God, serve Him with what He's given you by serving others. Serve other people with what He has given you, and you will glorify God. That's how His kingdom works. The community of God, serving one another, serving people outside of this community, that's how the kingdom of God works. Ephesians 4 tells us that the body of Christ grows to maturity in faith and love when every part is doing their share. When everybody does their share, that's when the body of Christ grows in faith and it matures. It's when every person is fulfilling their own particular area of service. And so, you know, you may be here this morning and you've been thinking as I've been preaching, and I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what is that thing that God specifically determined that I should have to serve Him with. There are resources that I could give you that can help you find that out, because it becomes our responsibility to discover that. It becomes our responsibility to seek God for what it is that He's given us to use and why we're to use it. This is where we go to Him and say, God, what is that gift, that special ability that You've given me, and how do You want me to serve other people with it? If you're looking for a ways to serve because you know that this is what God is kind of, the Holy Spirit is just pressing upon your heart, there's areas of service here in the church that you can serve. We have multiple areas in which you can serve. And there's an immediate list is right on your church app. There's a section there where you can volunteer for any of the areas in which we have service. But even if not that, tell us, let us know what you're good at. Let us know what drives you, what your passions are. What is that holy discontent within you that drives you, you know? And we'll find ways to serve other people with it. We'll do that. That's part of our responsibility as leadership, is to put you guys in a position where you can serve others, to equip those saints for the work of ministry. That's our job as leaders. And so come and contact the office, contact me, you know, if you want to find out. Well, we can pray about that. We can help you discover that gift for you. But take it before God and say, God, what is that thing that you have given to me that I can do? You know, maybe kids just gravitate to you. That is a gift that God has given you. And if kids gravitate to you, then go come down and serve in the nursery or kids' church. You know, if kids are just drawn to you, that's a gift. You know, maybe you're technologically sound and computers come easy to you, or the sound system and stuff comes easy to you. We need there's areas that need service in those areas as well. There's multiple areas. Maybe you just like to greet people and you just have a good smile and you just love to give people a warm welcome. Or maybe you just like to serve people coffee. There's multiple areas within this church that you can serve. And so I just want to make those opportunities available to you. But as we leave here this morning, I want you to think before God, is there anything that has been blocking or preventing you from accepting the call of God to serve? Anything holding you back from accepting God's call to serve Him and to serve others? I can tell you right now that there is nothing like growing in the Lord. You grow more in the Lord when you serve Him, because that's how His kingdom operates. You want to grow in the Lord and you need breakthrough in your life? Serve Him. Watch what happens. Serve others for Him, to give Him the glory, and you watch what happens in your life. I am dead serious. When I gave my heart to the Lord and I surrendered my life, Pastor Phil put me on that sound desk and I just started twisting knobs. And I don't know anything about that desk back there. But there was something about just knowing that I was giving God me. Because out of gratitude and thankfulness for what He's done for me, I said, God, my life's all yours. Here's me. I don't know a thing about all these little knobs, but I'm giving you me, you know? What task or ministry do you believe God has given you that you need His strength and power to complete? You may be serving in an area right now of the church or elsewhere. You may be serving other people at home or whatever the case may be, but you recognize that you've been serving Him in your own strength, and there's no joy in it. There's no passion in it. It's not what it's supposed to be. Check the motivation of your heart. Check the condition of your heart. What is God saying to you that is preventing you from receiving the joy and the benefit of serving Him? You know? So I just want to encourage you to take those things away with you today. We're going to close up the service. And I'm going to pray with you all. And you know, I said this with the first service, and I'm going to say it again. You know, when I was praying with the Lord this morning, I was like, Lord, man, this isn't like a go get 'em kind of sermon. It's not like a whoa, you know, pump everybody up and send them out kind of sermon. You know, and I was a little discouraged, and God said, I just felt the Lord say to me, this is a go for me. This is one of them go and get it kind of sermons for me, for Him. And that just changed my perspective. And I was like, amen. Thank you for that, God. I needed that. I needed that. So, it's not a flashy message. It's a message that is where the body of Christ grows. And God wants us to grow in maturity. He wants us to grow in faith. He wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to glorify Him. And we do that by taking what He has given us and serving other people with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You first and foremost for rescuing each and every one of us. Lord, for saving us death, for giving us new life in You, for giving us the resurrection life. God, we are a community of people who stand in victory of what You have done on the cross in Your resurrection. And for that, we rejoice and are so thankful, and we are grateful, and we're appreciative. And because of what You did for us, out of Your love for us, God, it is a joy for us to bow the knee before You and say, we pledge our lives to You in service. All that we are and all that we have is for You today. God, I pray that for those who are who are wondering what it is that you would have them do. What is it that you would have them serve, and how and what ways that you would have them serve others. Lord, I pray that even right now, and as they pray with you during this week, and as they spend time with you, that you would begin to illuminate that to their heart. Pinpoint that gifting, Lord God, that you have placed within them by your grace that comes directly from you, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them a desire and a passion to serve you with that, to serve others for you with that. God, I thank you for what is taking place in this church body as we marinate on what it means to be your people. I thank you that breakthrough is coming, Lord. It's in the process right now. And I thank you, Lord, that you are doing an incredible work in and through this church. I pray that you would bless each and every single one of us, God, every single one of these people. I pray that you pour out your favor upon their lives in such an incredible way, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, materially. Lord God, I ask you to pour out your blessings upon these people. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen.